This hour by Frederick Remington, fully cooked, ready-to-eat bacon. Exclusive, no refrigeration, 10-year extended shelf life bacon. The thickest media center-cut bacon in the industry at fullycookedbacon.com.
This is Free Talk Live. We're launching into the third hour of the program. You are, as always, invited to take control of the airwaves here and bring up anything that's on your mind. Our number is 855-450-FREE, like freedom. That's 855-450-3733. You can also join us on our Discord server over at discord.lrn.fm, where if you join the on-air call-in line rooms there, you will sound like you're sitting here in the studio with us. And the us in the studio tonight is me, Ian.
And Vin.
And Mark.
Vin Armani joining us from the Vin Armani Show at vinarmani.com. It's a once-a-week video show, but it's also available in podcast form for those of you who would prefer to listen. Maybe on your way to work, you can download his podcast through vinarmani.com as well.
And iTunes, Stitcher, all those.
For now, you haven't been banned from iTunes yet.
Not yet.
All right, that's good news. Let's go to Gregory. He's in Brooklyn, New York. And then, speaking of New York, we'll get back to Paul Krugman and his opinions about Bitcoin, because we still have not yet trashed all of his opinions quite yet. Gregory, you're on Free Talk Live. Go ahead.
How are you doing?
Excellent.
So I kind of wanted to talk about open source software.
All right, sure.
So I think I said in my earlier call that I think capitalism is the second best system for organizing people and resources. And the reason I say that is because I think something better than that is to have less ownership, like when you have in science or open source. And I could give tons of examples, but essentially it takes longer to get started. But after it gets going, open source takes over and provides more wealth for everybody involved.
When we were talking about this a little bit earlier, when we were on the Krugman story, about how the open source, Bitcoin, all these cryptocurrencies, nobody has to ask permission. There's nobody who truly has any real ownership claim over any of these ideas. They're out there. Anybody can utilize them. Anybody can change them. Anybody can make them better or worse and, try their hand at marketing it and, getting their product or service out to the masses. Like you said, Vin, when you launched Cointext.io to make it easier for people to send and receive crypto via cell phone numbers, you didn't have to go and beg for a licensing agreement from anybody.
Nope.
You just went and created your own code and did your own thing. And that's what you're talking about, right, Greg?
That's what I'm talking about. And I'm curious if we brought this into other areas of the economy, how well could they do? I'll give a couple examples. Okay. First, let me give maybe five examples of how open source just trounced capitalistic models. So, for example, you had Encyclopedia Britannica. Great, very famous encyclopedia. Salesmen used to come door to door.
They might be out of business now.
They are out of business.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And why? Because Wikipedia took off, right? It's because, Encarta is not being spoken of very much either.
Right.
Because Wikipedia is just tons more articles and pretty much the same quality, I would say. And what happens is the cost is distributed among many people. So you don't have to necessarily have somebody put up a large investment and take a risk, but it's enough of a small risk that anybody can take a few minutes of their time and fix up an article here.
It looks like Britannica.com is online. Maybe somebody bought the intellectual property. I couldn't say anything about other than there's a website that claims to be
online. No, I looked it up recently, and they've quit. They quit printing, I think, back in 2012.
The books.
2012, yeah.
And who the hell's ever gone to Britannica.com to do anything?
Nobody
ever.
This is the first time ever.
Right.
So they talked.
You went to see if they still existed. That's the only reason.
Well, anyway,
go ahead, Greg.
They're going to stop printing a lot of the newspapers at this rate. So let's look at the news, for example. There's a crisis, right? Since the internet's disrupted a lot of the journalistic model of selling newspapers, now they have to rely on advertising. And that leads to clickbait and a race to the bottom.
Well, no, they've always relied on advertising. Let's be clear. Newspapers, even though there was a subscription rate, that was just to basically help subsidize the printing. If they didn't have advertisers, they wouldn't have been able to afford to distribute the newspapers at all. So newspapers historically have always been advertiser supported. There's nothing new under the sun there.
Right, that's true. But also we hear a lot of the time, just like with the music industry earlier, you know, the hand-wringing saying, hey, the sky is falling. How can we get good journalism paid for when no one's going to pay for the news, right?
It's a good question. What's your answer?
So it is in a capitalistic model. Yeah, it's a good question. How are you going to sustain capitalism when everything is raced to the bottom and it's free? But obviously, you know, you could have a wiki news, right? Again, you could have citizen journalists with their phone. There's absolutely no reason why a professional journalist has to go all the way to Cambodia to film something when you've got plenty of people in Cambodia. If you allow them to simply go and document it and have a fair system where they can actually contribute to a growing snowball of news, you could get lots of news and it wouldn't be as biased either.
I think that's happening. I mean, I really do feel like we're seeing that. And so many people who are great journalists are just going their own way, right? There's very little barrier to entry to having a podcast or a YouTube channel or doing any of these things. And, I mean, with Patreon and whatnot, you know, if you're an intellectual, if you're a journalist, if you can communicate in any way, I mean, I think we're already seeing an open source revolution in that regard.
How about Glenn Greenwald maybe as an example of this?
Great example.
He was working for The Guardian when the Edward Snowden releases happened. He helped with that big time. And then he spun off, left The Guardian, and created or was involved in the creation of, I don't think it was exclusively his, I think there were some investors, but created The Intercept, which is the site for which he is writing now. Is that kind of what you're talking about, Gregory? Or are you talking about more decentralized, more, you know, bottom-up, citizen-level journalism?
Even more decentralized, I'm basically saying ownerless, right? I don't claim credit for a Wikipedia article. I actually wrote the article on...
But somewhere there's a rack of computers that's running Wikipedia, you know? It's it's not like there's not an owner. There's a CEO. They do fundraising. They have to raise a certain amount of funds in order to keep that thing online. I mean, it's one of the biggest websites on the planet.
I use it and I give to it.
I have given to it as well in the past.
Well, there you go. I mean, the thing is that if you cut out all the actual profit motive, it costs a lot less to run these kinds of things, and it's going to cost even less. You're, again, with these Bitcoin and decentralized servers where they don't even know what they're storing, in the future there is going to be end-to-end encrypted. It's just going to be a giant infrastructure. Sure, you got to pay for the infrastructure, but it's so tiny compared to the...
To be fair, Gregory, I mean, if we're talking about Bitcoin, and I don't think just Bitcoin, but a lot of open source software, the profit motive is a huge reason why people are even doing it. I mean, the reason why, as we were talking about earlier, the reason why miners are investing so much money in developing new hardware and software, for that matter, is because they're trying to make money. And I mean, if you look at
journalists too, though.
Journalists too.
Yeah,
I mean, everybody's
writing their articles so that you click on the page and you have to see that ad for that one weird fruit that'll help you lose weight.
Right.
Well, that's what I feel is holding it back. I'm saying yes, maybe in some sectors of cryptocurrency, people are doing it for the money because, again, that's money. Bitcoin is money. But you'd be hard-pressed to say that a Wikipedia editor or a Linux contributor is doing it for the money. They're doing it because there is a bug and they can fix it and they have a few hours.
Well, to be fair, have you actually seen who the biggest contributors to Linux are? It's actually coming from the major corporations, IBM, Microsoft.
Really?
Yes, when you look at the actual contributions, the biggest – well, but this is what I'm saying, Gregory, is that the biggest – most profit-motivated corporations also happen to be the ones whose staffs who are paid by those corporations are contributing to the Linux kernel the most.
Well, I've also heard that in the Linux contribution area, there are people who contribute, and then they offer, you know, they put all this effort into making the software, but then they offer support
That's
for
right.
pay.
That's right.
So the idea is
they offer their own time. But just because states, let's say, get involved.
Because somebody's got to get paid at some point. I mean, it's great to contribute to a project, but if all you're doing is contributing to a project and you're not bringing in any money, well, how is that going to put food on the table for somebody? Hang on, we can continue the discussion here in moments, because I think that he's not necessarily wrong that going into open source is a good thing to do, that it gives more freedom, that there's more development, more innovation that can happen as a result of that. We've certainly seen that being the case. But there also has to be some sort of a revenue stream. Otherwise, somebody's going to give up being a journalist.
That's right.
It's Free Talk Live.
We have some good news. The indictments against Ross Ulbricht in the District of Maryland were dismissed with prejudice, meaning they can never be refiled. This is especially good because those indictments contain the only charge ever made that Ross engaged in murder for hire. This was a serious allegation that Ross Ulbricht denies. It was never prosecuted or ruled on by a jury, but was trumpeted by the federal government and the media as if it were proven fact. The Maryland court held these indictments for almost 5 years, poisoning Ross's case and leaving him under a cloud of unproven allegations. As explained in Ross's appeal to the Supreme Court, the fact that the judge used these allegations to give Ross a draconian sentence of double life without parole violated his Sixth Amendment right to a jury trial. Judges are required to issue sentences based on convictions decided by a jury, not unproven allegations, never even charged at trial. Although this is a positive development, the dropped indictment will not set Ross free. Now, a presidential pardon is Ross's only hope of freedom. Sign the petition at FreeRoss.org. FreeRoss.org.
From the third letter of Captain Mark. The Crown's observation conditions us to be dishonest with ourselves. Therefore, constant surveillance produces a society of constant deception. Honest communication is the seed of civilized conduct. To deny us this seed is to deny us its fruits. But the Crown's primary objective is to stifle free thought itself, to make its subjects incapable of dissent. Seasoned pirates have always encrypted messages and codes and ciphers, so intercepted transmissions were incomprehensible. But today, the Crown possesses advanced tools of pattern recognition that document, profile, and predict our every move. Today, piracy requires hailing frequencies completely invisible to the Crown. We are tired of poltergeists in the static. Looking for a community of like-minded scoundrels, or just want some swag to let the Crown know what you think of it? Join the conversation at piratewithoutborders.com.
Healthcare reform is confusing. With the loss of the Obamacare mandate, those needing help can now choose an affordable alternative. By joining Liberty HealthShare, you're part of a community of health-conscious Americans all over the country who control their own healthcare costs and choices. Liberty HealthShare is not insurance. It is an association of self-pay patients who unite with like-minded people to share the cost of their medical needs. Neighbor helping neighbor. Learn more now by going to libertyoncall.org. That's libertyoncall.org.
Non-attorney paid spokesperson. Could your house go into foreclosure? Are you behind on your mortgage payments? Does it seem like the bank has no interest in helping you save your home? And you feel like you have nowhere to turn for help? Then we have good news for you. Foreclosure Protection Services can help save your home as they specialize in foreclosure assistance. That's all they do. If you're behind on your mortgage payments, being threatened with foreclosure, have been denied a loan modification, or been the victim of a predatory loan, it's critical that you call Foreclosure Protection Services now at 800-667-9035. Their network of attorneys and their agents are available to speak to you now. If you're behind on your mortgage payments, Foreclosure Protection Services can help stop the foreclosure process. Call today before it's too late. New laws are in effect that may save your home. Call Foreclosure Protection Services now at 800-667-9035. 800-667-9035. That's 800-667-9035.
Are you afraid to go to the mailbox because of letter after letter from the IRS? Are they stacking on more and more penalties and interest? By now, you know the problem won't go away on its own. Don't let the IRS chase you to your grave with penalties and interest and liens and levies. You need real help now. I'm Dan Pilla. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I help thousands of people solve tax problems they thought couldn't be solved. I can help you too. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com. Danpilla.com.
This is Free Talk Live. Call in toll free. 855-450-FREE. That's 855-450-FREE.
This is Free Free Talk Live, and you can bring up whatever you want. Just take control of the airwaves here. The number is 855-450-FREE, like freedom. That's 855-450-3733. Discord. On-air call-in lines are available to you as well. The Discord lines are on our Discord server, which is a place where listeners can go and chat with each other and some of the hosts of the show over at discord.lrn.fm. And there are three call-in lines available to you there of a very high quality. You'll sound almost like you're in the studio with us. Discord.lrn.fm. You can grab the app for Linux, for Macintosh, for Windows, for your smartphones, iOS, Android. Go to discord.lrn.fm. Libertarians got to know Tom Woods during the Ron Paul campaigns of 2008 and 2012. He is a New York Times best-selling author, has written over a dozen books, including The Politically Incorrect Guide to American History. Since September of 2013, Tom has been putting out The Tom Woods Show every single weekday, which is a tremendous level of dedication to the libertarian podcast craft. That means he's racked up approximately 1,200 episodes so far, and has had great guests like Ron Paul, Judge Andrew Napolitano, David Stockman, and hundreds more, with topics including war, the Federal Reserve, net neutrality, the FDA, Austrian economics, and other subjects of interest to libertarians. Find the Tom Woods Show online at tomwoods.com or search for Tom Woods Show in your favorite podcatcher. As we go back to Gregory in Brooklyn, New York, he's calling about open source, saying that an open source economy would be better than a so-called capitalist economy. Now, to me, the word capitalist is very confusing. I think there's different kind of definitions that people have for it out there. I like the idea of a free marketplace, and I'm also against the idea of intellectual property. Mm-hmm. So I'm open to this, Gregory. I like open source.
I use a lot of open source stuff.
Open source stuff, not exclusively. I'm running Windows on the main studio computer here, but we do have Linux in use. My laptop runs Linux, Linux Mint right now, and I've been using that for more than a year. And Linux Mint's the first time I've actually been really happy with a Linux distribution.
Yeah, I got sick and tired of Ubuntu and moved back to Windows.
Ubuntu is not that good on the desktop.
Yeah.
No.
But Linux Mint, I've been
really
happy with.
Does that include the laptop, too? Is that the same thing?
Yeah,
okay. Basically. So, Gregory, you're back on Free Talk Live. We've been talking about, you were giving us some examples of how open source has changed things, Wikipedia being a great example of essentially Wikipedia has killed the encyclopedia business. And good, good riddance. Who the hell needs a stack of tomes of books that, you have to get new versions of every single year? I mean, whole concept of an encyclopedia seems so antiquated at this point. And
we needed it in the marketplace
to establish the
value of an encyclopedia.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
Wikipedia wouldn't exist
if it weren't for Britannica.
If it weren't for a whole bunch of families in the 70s and decades prior to that
spending hundreds of dollars
in their children's future with these big sets.
Thousands of dollars. Yeah. I think they were very expensive. I've never purchased one.
I want to thank everybody who did it.
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, we had to go through some of these old ideas to get to the new ones. There's no doubt about it.
Linux would not have existed without these very incredibly expensive Unix-based operating systems that people could only use if they were in very high levels of industry or academia. That's the entire reason why Linux took over because it finally gave access to people who otherwise valued these Unix systems.
I'm interested in talking more about the journalist aspect, because I think everybody can acknowledge, Wikipedia, great idea, and people do donate to that. So the money is there to sustain that particular model. But the transitioning from what we had as far as, private companies running journalists, journalistic AP, AFP, CBS, Fox, all these different organizations, to a more open source, decentralized news system that can somehow be funded, that's a bit more of a challenge.
What I'd like to point out while we're talking about this and extolling the virtues of independent producers, independent journalists, is that Alex Jones is the runaway winner in this, and most of the stuff he reports as I hear, isn't really true. So,
according to whom?
When you leave the journalism in the hands of independent journalists, then what do you get? I don't know. When I was on the show with him, this is the last time I had any communication with Alex Jones, he claimed that a North Korean submarine blew up the that oil derrick that was in the middle of the Gulf of Mexico. I don't know anything, and none of us do.
He claimed that the shootings in, what was it, Connecticut were fake.
But then he claimed they weren't. That's worth pointing
out.
When
he got called out on it.
Well,
yeah. So, Gregory, I mean, I'm not saying it's impossible. It's just that it's hard to see, sometimes from our current perspective, it's hard to see how these things will work out. How do you see news being funded? I mean, I know you were saying that citizen journalists in Cambodia should be the ones reporting in Cambodia and that it's silly for the AP to send a reporter halfway across the world to be there to report on something. I get that. That makes economic sense. But how does that become something that you can rely on? How do those citizen journalists get whatever level of clout that they need to be able to be seen as reliable and, journalistic. Just go ahead with your thoughts on that.
Oh, man. I have so much to say. Okay, let's first address your exact question. Can you hear me, by the way?
Yeah. Gotcha. Loud and clear.
So your exact question is, first of all, what would motivate these journalists to even report on something? I would say, in general, as all of us can attest, we're motivated intrinsically by snapping photos, taking videos of extraordinary events. We don't need to get paid necessarily for that. And also, you could see that it wasn't just recent. It's all over the board. Scientists in the physics department are motivated to explore the world and publish. They publish their papers widely and freely, not because they want to make money off of it, but because if they don't do it, someone else will do it. And they will get their name out there, or they will have some measure of control for a little bit. So they want to have that. People are motivated all the time. There's actually a video called Drive, The Surprising Truth, about what motivates us. You can see it on YouTube, where I think it's Dan Pink. He talks about, and then he made a book about this, that people are motivated by three things: mastery, autonomy, and purpose.
How much is the book?
You master a craft to make profit so you can sell the things that you're mastering other people.
Yeah, the truth is in between these two, Greg, and I'm sure you understand that. You have to make enough money that you can be able to do these extracurricular activities, but many times I won't do these activities that you're talking about, the extra stuff, the free stuff, unless it's easy for me. The harder stuff where I'm trying to get something done and I have to sort of forge a new pathway, I may not do that. I may just say, you know what, I'm going to go help my son with his Legos, or I'm going to do some wrestling with my son, or chit-chat with my wife, or whatever I'm going to do, and I don't do it. I'm motivated to do the work stuff because somebody's paid me and I'm going to do it. And so there's commitment and those kind of things. There was a time in my life when I was motivated because if I didn't make telephone calls 10 hours a day, we didn't eat. That kind of thing. So, I mean,
good call tonight, Greg. I think it's an interesting discussion.
It's in the middle.
We can keep. I'd like to keep going on the discussion.
Yeah,
but I
want
to thank Greg for the call. I appreciate hearing from him. It is an interesting thing, and it is something that I think, whether we like it or not, we're barreling towards it as far as the news is concerned. We were reading statistics the other day about massive layoffs in newspaper rooms, but not just newspaper. TV's cutting back. Other places are cutting their journalists. It's Free Talk Live.
Hunters, anglers, campers, and survivalists, get back to nature. Expand your horizons with the highest quality, most versatile, unique slingshots and slingbows on the market at slingbow.com. Slingbow products are compact and models start from just $17.98. They're perfect for your bug-out bag or storing in your vehicle. Give yourself and your loved ones the excitement and tradition of slingbow, a new frontier in archery and truly modern twist on this primitive survival tool. Feel the thrill only at slingbow.com.
This is Jessica Armand, creator of the fluoride-free oral care brand, My Magic Mud. You're going to love our new products. Our cutting-edge oral rinses deeply soothe your mouth and fight cavities naturally. Our breath spray, My Magic Mist, will invigorate your senses with essential oils of peppermint and eucalyptus. Our clinically proven toothpaste and tooth powders whiten your teeth and detoxify your mouth. Buy discounted bundles direct at MyMagicMud.com and take 10% off with coupon code GCN10. MyMagicMud.com.
For USA Radio News, I'm Wendy King. A Pennsylvania grand jury investigation is detailing the sexual abuse of more than 1,000 children by members of the Roman Catholic clergy and six dioceses.
Priests were raping little boys and girls, and the men of God who were responsible for them not only did nothing, they hid it all for decades.
State Attorney General Josh Shapiro said the cover-up went all the way to Rome.
Predator priests were allowed to remain in ministry for 10, 20, even 40 years after church leaders learned of their crimes. In those years, their list of victims got longer and longer.
The media is looking for the release of the Pennsylvania report, which covers 70 years of abuse of children by 300 Roman Catholic priests, and how the church sought to cover up the accusations. You're listening to USA Radio News.
There's no question you need omega-3s. But which form should you take? Fish oil or krill oil? Scientists have debated this for years. Luckily, there's a new solution to satisfy everyone. It's called Krill Omega 50 Plus. It combines ultra-pure fish oil and joint-soothing krill oil together in just one tiny pill. It's so powerful, it can promote the health of your heart and your arteries. And if that wasn't enough, it can also boost your joint comfort in just days. We're so sure Krill Omega 50 Plus will work for you. We'll even send you a free bottle to put to the test. The debate is over. It's not fish oil or krill oil. It's both. And now it's free. Just pay $4.95 for shipping and claim your free bottle. Call now. 1-800-399-6392. 1-800-399-6392. That's 1-800-399-6392.
With uncertain times in the United States, it's only prudent to consider storing precious metals in a safe place outside our borders. At Miles Franklin, we have done just that for you. Partnered with the most respected storage company in the industry, Miles Franklin is proud to offer the only fully insured private safe deposit box program in North America, held in Vancouver and Toronto. Send us your previously purchased precious metals or have one of our brokers help you purchase something new. Questions? Please call one of our experienced brokers at 866-485-4346. Solid Foundational Storage, partnered with the most respected name in security. Maintaining an A-plus Better Business Bureau rating and residing in Minnesota, the only state in America that regulates the precious metals industry, making doing business in precious metals with Miles Franklin the safest choice. Call us at 866-485-4346. Again, that's 866-485-4346. Miles Franklin Limited, a name you can trust.
You're listening to Free Talk Live. Call in toll-free at 855-453. That's 855-453.
It's Free Talk Live. You're invited to join us here on the radio. You can take control of the airwaves, as some of our callers have done tonight. So we were talking Paul Krugman. I don't know if we're going to have time to get back into it. I hope we do, because I want to get to more of his critique on Bitcoin so we can tear it apart. With you here tonight, it's Ian.
And Vin.
And Mark.
And also, I want to make sure you know about freetalklive.com and all the great features that we have there. You want to go back in time, we've got more than a decade of archives going all the way back to, I think, 2006, easily downloadable on the website, completely free. So again, going into that open source, well, we, you know, at least Free Talk Live officially doesn't believe in intellectual property, even if Mark personally appears to these days. But the official position of Free Talk Live is that you can take our show and do whatever it is that you want with it. It is open source to you. So if you want to go and grab archives, go do that. If you want to grab our video archives, you can do that on our YouTube channel. Those goes back. The video archives go back for several years on YouTube. You can watch us live, of course, anytime that we are live, which is 7 nights per week from 7 to 10 at night Eastern Time. But go and enjoy all the features for free at freetalklive.com, including the Discord chat rooms, which are open to you 24/7. But if you like what we do and you want to help support the show, then please join the AMP program for $5 per month, or you can use BTC if you prefer. So PayPal, credit card, BTC are your options. You get some cool perks. You get a special access to AMP-only or supporter-only chat rooms on our Discord server. There's the AMP-only Facebook group, for those of you still on Facebook. And then there's also various other AMP-only perks that you can learn about out over at amp.freetalklive.com. So check that out when you get a chance. And we're going to be seeing some changes to the AMP program, and we're going to be talking about, you know, like calling out some of the amplifiers on the air to show appreciation. We're working on that behind the scenes right now, so hopefully we'll have some cool announcements coming up soon. But go to the AMP program, get signed up. It's $5 a month, and it makes a big difference for us. It's what allows us to go to the talk radio conventions that we go to. It's what allows us to do outreach to radio stations. Mark, you said that there's some new stations coming on board. I think we're going to have one to announce very soon, within the next week or so, if all goes well. So we're at about 189, 190 radio stations currently, and we can have 300, we can have 400. It's just we got to market the show, and that's what the AMP program does: advertise, market, and promote. And head over to amp.freetalklive.com. As we go to the phones, and to somebody who has not called in for quite a while, Ralph in New Jersey. How long has it been, Ralph?
You know, I impose myself exile because I really don't want to, to be overexposed. As you know, I'm getting over Obama now, except for the fact that every now and then, you know why guilty, I refer to him as El Negro, right? And I don't,
El Negro.
El Negro.
We were trying to remember what it was during the break. We're explaining to Vin, who's our guest host here tonight, the history of Ralph calling the show, so he could at least have some idea of... So you said you're finally getting over Obama? It's only been, what, 2.5 years since he was in office?
Well, you know, it's one year ago this week, at least over the weekend, that the whole situation that happened in Charlottesville, Virginia, happened. Okay?
Right, and the so-called Unite the Right rally in Charlottesville.
Perhaps you and Mark can give me an update about Christopher Cantwell, what has happened since then to Christopher Cantwell.
Chris Cantwell. So, all right, let me see if we can do a quick recap here. For those of you who saw the news about the Unite the Right rally that happened in Charlottesville, Virginia last year, the Vice...
Cantwell's the crying Nazi.
The Vice documentary about it focused
on
Chris. Chris Cantwell is a former co-host here on Free Talk Live, and we fired him a few years ago because it turned out he was becoming a racist. We don't think he was a racist originally when we brought him on, but then he became one. And he went down to that rally, and he made a big name for himself down there. Vice, again, focused on him. He ended up getting pepper sprayed, ended up getting arrested, ended up going to jail, spending several months behind bars, pre-trial confinement. And there was a strong argument that they were treating him differently because of his political viewpoints than they were treating others. I think there was a strong argument that Chris was a political prisoner down there. Ultimately, he did get, finally, they allowed him to have bail. And so he bailed out, was going for a not guilty on the felony charges they were coming after him with. Ultimately, they finally offered him a plea deal down to misdemeanors, and he took it. So he took the plea deal, basically got time served with a suspended sentence, and he's out.
Mm-hmm. All's well that ends well. And as you know, there are two movies that I very much like to go see. One I've already seen. The one by two motion pictures, two movies.
Movies?
You probably heard about the Denise D'Souza movie, Death of a Nation, The Big Lie. The Big Lie, Death of a Nation. The book that accompanies that movie. And then this man, Spike Lee, has put a movie, Black Klansman. It's a true story, guys.
Black Klansman?
Yeah, Black Klansman. Black it's a true story.
This is Spike Lee, right?
Spike Lee, yes.
Yes, Spike Lee. Now, you know, the one thing I don't like, based on the review now, is to put this smear campaign about President Trump. President Trump never was in the KKK. President Trump
was never in the KKK.
Who is saying that President Trump is in the KKK?
I've never heard that.
I don't think they have a very big chapter in New York.
President Trump never went out of his way to solicit support. I can tell you that Animal Obama went out of his way to see Hussein and praises to Robert Byrd. I can tell you
I couldn't understand what that was.
No idea.
Obama went out of his way to do something racist.
To sing the Hosanna and praises about, you know, about Robert Byrd. Remember Robert Byrd? The late Robert Byrd?
Robert Byrd. Oh. Robert Byrd, yes.
He's a politician, right?
But Robert Byrd was in the KKK, though. He admittedly was
Obama
in the KKK.
Praised
Hugo,
him.
Hugo Black, too. Hugo Black and, you know, a few other people. Because, you know, the history of the KKK, and you cannot rewrite or twist things around.
Would you join the KKK?
No.
If they would have you, would you join the KKK, Ralph?
No.
Okay. That's refreshing.
No.
For listeners that don't know, Ralph is a bit of a racist when it comes to...
He obsesses upon race.
Yeah.
I think it's probably the best way to describe it.
He may actually believe it. Well, he may believe some races are more, better than others.
That's a good question to ask him.
Ralph, do you believe that some races are better than others?
More equal than others. The whole situation with Virginia.
I'm sorry, I asked. I can't even understand the word
situation with Virginia.
The whole situation with Virginia, with what went on down there in Charlottesville, Virginia. If you want to be fair and balanced about things, the Democratic Party is playing both sides against the middle. And what they're getting out of doing it, I do not know.
Probably more power, because if you can play different groups of people against one another, you can kind of establish yourself in more levels of control over people. By the way, Mark, didn't you guys talk about Sunday night, this Unite the Rally Part 2 that went on? Wasn't it like two dozen white supremacists versus a bunch more Antifas or something?
Yeah, they think at any given time that you couldn't find more than... two or three dozen of these Unite the Writers, but maybe there was more than that over time.
Mm-hmm.
We're only talking about a few dozen at that point. Cantwell was quoted as saying that the organizer is literally a mental patient, and that he was sorry that he participated in his event that was in Charlottesville last year because the guy is a mess and that he's the reason that it all turned the way it did and that kind of thing.
There's an interesting follow-up that I would recommend to anybody that's interested in kind of seeing what the latest is on these Unite the Writers or white supremacists or whoever they are, this group. The Vice documentary, the same girl that did the report on Cantwell originally has filed a follow-up report where she comes to Keene and goes into his house to interview him. And it's very interesting. She does a follow-up on Cantwell. She does a follow-up on the other two main guys. And basically, the whole thing's a mess. They're all broken up. Nobody gets along with one another. This movement, their movement is going nowhere.
The Bitcoin.com wallet is a simple and powerful full-featured wallet that allows you to send and receive Bitcoin, BTC, and Bitcoin Cash, BCH, with anyone, anywhere in the world. It supports both single and multi-signature wallets and is available in multiple languages. The Bitcoin.com wallet is available on Windows, Linux, Mac, Android, and iOS devices. Use the Bitcoin.com wallet to buy, send, store, and receive both Bitcoin, BTC, and Bitcoin Cash, BCH. Learn more at wallet.bitcoin.com. That's wallet.bitcoin.com.
What's more profitable? Running your business or doing bookkeeping? Doing your business, of course, but you want to keep your books so that you can maximize your tax savings, right? What if I told you that there's a person that's a bookkeeper, accountant, and law school graduate that's also a hardcore libertarian?
My name is Melanie Johnson, and I hate the state. I will aggressively help you to minimize your tax exposure and maximize profits, all while staying within the law.
Melanie's your best choice for your taxes and bookkeeping needs. Go to tax.freetalklive.com and check out our website, tax.freetalklive.com.
Hi, I'm Dr. Bill Deagle, MD, AAEM, ACAM, A4M, of Nutramedical.com, and a consultant providing email advice free on advanced protocols for your optimized wellness and advanced technologies to heal and regenerate you. You can contact us at Nutramedical.com, that's NutriMedical.com, or 888-212-8871. You get free email starter protocols of our top medical-grade nutraceuticals, initial testing, and recommendations for your own primary doctor to do, as well as recommendations to give you an idea of a consultation and a full protocol to try to help you regenerate your tissues, heal naturally without the use of toxic polypharmacy. I can send test kits to you as well anywhere in the world and provide you recommendations for referral of specialty clinics worldwide. So contact me, Dr. Bill Deagle, at NutriMedical.com. That's NutriMedical.com or 888-212-8871.
I'm
I'm David Hall, founder of Diamond Gusset, where we're proud of our 100% grown and sewn American-made jeans. Whether you're out for dinner, working on the farm, or on the road, Diamond Gusset Jeans offers a full spectrum of styles and sizes for any occasion. To find yours, visit gusset.com. That's G-U-S-S-E-T.com. Our loyal customers enable us to continue sponsoring Liberty Media outlets like the one you're listening to. In Liberty, David Hall, Diamond Gusset Jean Company.
Policies issued by American General Life Insurance Company, Houston, Texas. Not available in all states. For details, visit AIGdirect.com.
If you're young and healthy, you don't need life insurance, right? Yeah, that's what I used to think, too, until my brother died at 38. Joe left his wife with two kids, a mortgage, and a stack of bills she couldn't pay. Mary had to sell the house and move everybody into this tiny two-bedroom apartment just to make ends meet. I never want to do that to my wife, so I got life insurance. I called AIG Direct and was really surprised how affordable it is. Just $14 a month for $250,000 of term life coverage. Listen, if you have a family, you should seriously think about getting life insurance. You'll feel a lot better having it. Trust me.
Call AIG Direct for a free, no-obligation quote. The call takes less than 5 minutes, and you could save up to 70%. Call now. 1-800-910-7981. That's 1-800-910-7981. 1-800-910-7981.
Get the ultimate knife at an ultimate price. The Fox Karambit Knife. Finally available in the U.S., the Fox Karambit Knife opens with one hand, faster than you can pull a handgun. For utility, for defense, and for way less than other knives of this caliber. Go to TheUltimateKnife.com. Truly the best knife you will ever own. And only available at TheUltimateKnife.com. Use promo code radio at checkout for free shipping. Get the ultimate knife at the ultimate price at TheUltimateKnife.com.
Now more Free Talk Live. Call in toll free at 855-450-FREE. That's 855-450-FREE.
This is Free Talk Live, and you can bring up whatever you want here. The toll-free number is 855-450-FREE, like freedom, 855-450-3733. Joining you in the studio tonight, I'm Ian.
And Vin.
And Mark.
Vin, you just brought us some breaking news.
Yeah, this is on CNET. Twitter suspends InfoWars host Alex Jones's ability to tweet, but I guess that it is for he's on a 7-day. What is up with this
timeout?
Are these are we corner. Children?
Yeah, sitting like, in the corner, getting a little dunce hat.
7 days. He's 7 days. He's not allowed onto Twitter. It's almost more insulting to be put on timeout for 7 days than to just be banned completely.
At least you're worth banning.
Well, right, because, you know, then the idea is that, oh, well, your service is so important that the person is going to wait and they're going to be grateful when they come back.
Mm-hmm.
And people were like this with Facebook for a long time, where they would sit and they'd wait, and then as soon as they'd come back, they're back on Facebook and announcing to everybody that they're back. And
that still happens, buddy.
Yeah, mm-hmm. it still happens. And so is Jones going to come back after, you know, a 7-day waiting period?
Of course he will. He's not going to give up Twitter. Are you kidding me?
Well, he's had to give up everything else within the last week. I mean, listeners for the last couple of weeks have known we've been reporting on Jones as being targeted by all these various different organizations.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever their particular political leanings aside, it's unfortunate. But the good news for Jones is it's actually worked out for him because it plays right into his narrative that you know the powers that be are trying to shut him down. And so he's
the powers that be are trying to shut down Free Talk Live.
So he has seen tremendous downloads on his app, because one of the people who commented on this pointed out that even though iTunes shut down access to his podcast through search, can't search for it anymore, Apple did not pull his app from their app store.
Mm-hmm.
So his app shot up to being the number one trending, most downloaded app over the last week or two since all this, you know, went down. Also trending to number one on the Android store as well. So,
ladies and gentlemen, I'm afraid that SoundCloud is going to pull Free Talk Live off the air. And Libsyn, too. What I want you to do right now is go to Free Talk
soundcloud.freetalklive.com. That's soundcloud.com.
Is that even a URL we have?
Yeah, we have that.
Do we? Okay.
Go look it up.
I'll take your word for
soundcloud.freetalklive.com and download all the Free Talk Live episodes. Every single one of them.
It's a great impression.
Go to Libsyn and download everything you can get from Free Talk Live.
It's hard to do that much.
Download it all, because that way they can never take Free Talk Live off the air. You got do it. If you love liberty, do it now.
It's good advice.
Thank you, Alex.
Yeah. So, Alex Jones, the crackdown continues, but ultimately he's come out ahead. I mean, he's got more subscribers to it. He's got more app downloads than ever. He got all kinds of free publicity out of this. I mean, the news media just keeps on talking about Alex Jones. And I'll point out again, Rush Limbaugh was number 39 on the list of news. You know, if you look at the news apps, Alex Jones was number 3 when I looked. Limbaugh was number 39. Alex Jones is the top internet personality as far as talk radio is concerned.
Oh, by far.
By far.
Yeah, he's a phenomenon.
So, anyway, that's interesting news. Twitter dropping him for 7 days. Thanks for that update. We got a little bit of time. Let's get back into Krugman. So Paul Krugman over at the New York Times saying Bitcoin's a problem, that it goes in the other direction against the trend of money to make transactions more frictionful. But that's false. We know that Bitcoin is actually more frictionless, or it has less friction than other forms of money.
And we pointed that out. We didn't just take them at their word for it.
Correct. And then let's go on here. He says these costs aren't incidental, something that can be innovated away. As Brennemeyer and Abadi point out, the high costs making it expensive to create a new Bitcoin or transfer an existing one. False. It is not expensive to transfer a Bitcoin, as we explained earlier, but it does cost something to make a new one.
They're kind of the same thing, because, I mean, if you're talking about moving the transactions around the network and then actually mining a block, because it's not until that block is mined that technically the Bitcoin is transferred.
True.
That's the way that it's transferred. He's combining two things there. So, like, yes, there is a lot of energy that's being used in terms of mining Bitcoin, which is adding to the ledger, but it's far less than what's being used in the global banking system.
Far less than what's being used to mine another ounce of gold into existence as well.
Look at the Visa network.
Yep. And he goes on here. He says they're essential to the project of creating confidence in a decentralized system. Banknotes worked, says Krugman, because people knew something about the banks that issued them, and these banks had an incentive to preserve their reputation. Governments have occasionally abused the privilege of creating fiat money.
More often than not.
As if it's a privilege.
Right. The whole thing is an abuse.
Mm-hmm.
The idea of government-created fiat money systems are an abuse. But anyway, he goes on. But for the most part, governments and central banks exercise restraint. Again, because...
Well, they have to.
Well, he claims it's because they care about their reputations.
Well...
No, it's not that. It's because they can only get away with so
much.
That's
right.
That's kind of what reputation is, though.
But people don't really even know anything about the fiat money system. I mean, the average person doesn't have
It wouldn't take long if they began just pumping
USD.
Right,
look at Venezuela.
Well,
or Zimbabwe.
Exactly.
The people don't have to know what's happening for the people to react to what's happening.
I mean, they're not abusing their privilege, with the air quotes, for any other reason except they don't want people to storm the gates of government because they've inflated the currency and hang them from a gallows. You know what I mean?
If Bitcoin only keeps the United States Federal Reserve in check to some small extent, it's been worth every single dollar spent.
Absolutely.
But you're supposed to be sure that a Bitcoin is real without knowing who issued it. So you need the digital equivalent of biting a gold coin to be sure it's the real deal, and the costs of producing something that satisfies that test have to be high enough to discourage fraud.
It's cryptographically secured. It's like you can literally do it with a piece of paper and a pencil. I mean, you can actually mine a Bitcoin block. It's math. It takes a very long time,
right.
But it's cryptography. Like, You don't have to know who issued it because it's math, dude. You could verify the math.
If you had the programming and cryptographic skills. Now, the average person doesn't.
Or if you just had a wallet. That's all you need is the wallet.
Well, you still have to trust. For instance, if you went to, say you go to Local Burger here in Keene, New Hampshire, where they accept
Bitcoin Dash. Yep.
Bitcoin Dash. So you do a double spend of the Dash network, and it confuses, and for those that don't know, that's the equivalent of
that is not
counterfeit.
An easy thing to do. You
I'm not saying
that,
it
right?
is.
Well, I've got a video of me doing it pretty easily, but it's not
really?
The type of... Yes, you can go on my YouTube, and it literally the title of the video is... Easy double spending on Dash.
So
really?
Then you do the double spend. That will tick off the wallet to say, put a little gray,
right, exactly.
You know, the transactions there. It'll never become black because it'll never become confirmed.
That's right.
But it will confuse the server enough, the person handing out hamburgers, that you might be able to get somebody for $10 hamburger. Now, if you were buying a car, on the other hand, they're not going to let you out of the car dealership until you got 6 confirmations. But
and that's only now. I mean,
yep, that's true.
When this is something that those of us who are working on point of sales and payment systems, we're thinking about it, and it's only because we're in the baby steps that this is not going to be an issue for very long.
Hmm.
Not at all.
I gotta say, I mean, you're the first person who I've ever met who's ever claimed to have done a double spend.
I've got a video of me doing it on YouTube.
I wanna check that out,
yeah.
Because nobody around here's, ever had any situation like that ever happen. I mean, if it was that easy, you'd think people would be going around scamming free pizzas and
well,
free...
Well, there's more to it than that. I mean, it's easy to do a double spend, but would I actually have caught a merchant in it? There's a lot more steps to it. So, in other words, I can do a double spend, but...
You can't just do it with your wallet. You can't just pull out a wallet and do it.
No.
You got to be a hacker, basically. You got to at least have some...
You at least got to... Let's just say that it's a little more nuanced than just... It's not that easy. It's very unlikely that I could even pull it off on a local merchant here.
All right. So, let's see here. He says, in other words, cryptocurrency enthusiasts are effectively celebrating the use of cutting-edge technology to set the monetary system back 300 years. Why would you want to do that?
Cutting-edge technology is going to set the monetary system back 300 years. Did this guy go back and read his own... Using that cutting-edge technology is going to set us back 300 years. Well,
that's what he wants
exactly
you to believe.
Exactly how would it set us back 300 years? I mean, are we going to be on riding... Am I going to ride a horse to work in like a week? I mean, am I going
to
be...
Well, remember, he's claiming it's inferior to these other forms of money, the fiat money system, when somebody can just wave a pen and make
he's
more money.
He's a Keynesian, and he believes that you need debt in order to create value. And that's what the whole United States...
and the fact is, cryptocurrency is a threat to the old money system. So people like Krugman and his ilk.
People who make the loans for the debt that he believes is necessary are really against this.
Exactly. We're out of time for tonight. Check out Vin Armani on his show, vinarmani.com.
That's right.
And we'll see you tomorrow night online. In the meantime, you can join us at freetalklive.com.
Let's talk tough. Let's talk comfort. Let's talk about down-home value. Made in the USA blue jeans, like you wore as a kid. Remember?
There's a place down in Tennessee where they make blue diamond gusset jeans. They sew pride in every stitch. Guarantee you love the way they fit. They put a diamond gusset in the crotch where you need it most. Diamond Gusset's got it, others don't.
For good old-fashioned comfort, get Diamond Gusset jeans. Every stitch guaranteed. And our Defender motorcycle jean comes Kevlar reinforced. See them at GUSSET.com, that's Gusset.com, or call 888-848-7738. That's 888-848-7738. Diamond Gusset jeans got it, others don't.
Attention business owners and independent contractors. This is a money-saving message from Tax Mediation Services. If your business owes $20,000 or more in taxes, we can help you today, right now. Listen, dealing with the IRS is no picnic. It's an intimidating and extremely stressful process, and you don't want to go it alone. Our attorneys know every law, every tax break, and every possible opportunity to help you resolve and reduce your tax debt. And if you owe more than $20,000,
$1,000, you may be at the top of their hit list. So don't take your tax debt lightly, because it will not go away on its own. The IRS can seize your bank accounts, your home, and even shut down your business. Call our tax experts today at 1-800-261-9818 and let us deal with the IRS while you focus on your business. That's 1-800-261-9818. Again, 800-261-9818.